Friends, if the resurrection isn't real, if it didn't really happen, then we are simply wasting our time here. It's just a waste of our time. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then sin and death have the last laugh. And Jesus is nothing more than a really great man, maybe the greatest ever to live. But that's it. It stops there. Then there's no way out of the darkness in life, and there's nothing beyond this life to aspire to. Then our faith becomes meaningless. Totally meaningless. And life, simply absurd. You might as well eat, drink, and be merry, and do whatever you want. Me, 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 you know. Take everything you can while you're here in this life, because there's nothing after it, right? Does any of this sound familiar? It should, because we see it all over the place in our society today. But thankfully, the resurrection absolutely is real. Jesus is indeed alive. He is risen, as he said. Alleluia. We got the words right here. We got them in Latin and we got them in English. And our parish is named after this, right? Yes, he is truly risen. But it's not just him. It's not just Jesus rose and left us behind. We are members of his body. So we too share in this amazing reality. Now, to an extent, but in the afterlife to the fullest extent, if we walk with him now. And that's key. We heard him in the gospel passage say that those who are deemed worthy to go to the afterlife and have this resurrection from the dead. He didn't say everybody magically goes there, like some people believe. If we walk with him now. Our God is not God of the dead, but of the living. He wants us all to be living, to live this life to the full and to enjoy eternal life with him forever. The life of resurrected glory with God is so far beyond our lives here on earth that we can't even imagine what it is like. We struggle to fathom a life where we don't interact with other people like we do now, where we have friends and we have marriage and we have families, and this is part and parcel of the life that we know. And it's not like all of this is just going to go away if we make it to heaven. Like it's a waste of time here now. Rather, we'll be so blown away at seeing God face to face that we will exist in an entirely new way, way beyond our imagination, far exceeding even the great intimacy of marriage, which in many ways is the ultimate intimacy here on earth, but goes way beyond this in heaven. And we also know that there won't be any struggles there. There's not going to be any hurt. There's not going to be betrayal, things that are part and parcel also of life here on earth. This then, brothers and sisters, is what we are meant to yearn for, to strive for each day. This is indeed what we were created for. And if you do this more and more, if you yearn for this wonderful life, then you're going to live more and more in an entirely new and wonderful way while still here on earth. That's exactly what the Lord wants for you and for me. The family in today's first reading is definitely striving for and is indeed fully committed to life after death with God. That's obvious, without any doubt. We have a kind of a snippet of this story. I encourage you to read the full story where you have these seven brothers and their mother. They're all tortured and killed, all the sons first and then the mother. But they all maintain faith in the Lord. They praise the Lord. They have this great faith in him amidst this horrendous torture. And their witness is nothing short of amazing. Just look at this. Look at the faith that they have. It's really amazing and inspiring. No amount of torture or intimidation is going to pull them away from relationship with God. They're all in. All in. They're willing to give up everything here on earth. Even their tongues. You see that? I think it was the third son. Sticks his tongue out. Cut it off. You know, offers up his arms. Hack him off. God's going to give him back to me. Well, he prays that God will give him back to him in the afterlife. And so they're willing to give up literally everything before sinning against God. That's a great inspiration for us. In short, they know that there is more than life, than just life here on earth, and they can't be convinced otherwise. This is why they're able to have such tremendous courage in the face of such cruel torture and death, certain death. God is clearly the absolute center of their lives. They've tasted of His goodness, of His intimate, merciful love, and that is now their preoccupation, their one desire. They want more of Him. Indeed, they want His fullness. St. Paul also encourages us to have complete trust in the Lord amidst great adversity in today's second reading. But he is all the more confident since he has directly experienced the glory of Christ's resurrection. This family that we read about, the Maccabees, that was written a couple centuries before Christ was born. So they were looking, they were hoping, they were aspiring. Paul has tasted it. He's met Jesus face to face. And just look at the wonderful fruit that this trust brings about that Paul reveals to us. He prays that the word of the Lord may speed forward and be glorified among us, so that we and many others may be delivered from perverse and wicked people, for not all have faith. There are a great many faithless people in society today that joyfully reject God's word and do everything they can to prevent it from speeding forward. They want secularism to speed forward so that people focus on themselves and not be bothered by that pesky Jesus. Not realizing that what he wants is to change their lives for the better and lead them into flourishing. They have no idea that he wants to do this, and so they reject him. But the Lord is faithful, Paul continues. So there's the faithless ones, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and guard you from the evil one. He will never abandon you, but at the same time, he will undoubtedly challenge you. He always wants to lead you in this process of ongoing conversion, transformation, leading you ever deeper into his loving embrace. Yet, he will do so only so that you can enjoy the glorious freedom of the children of God. It's not like it's fun for him, or he's like some kind of sadistic jerk. He wants you to share in his glory and then help his word speed forward so that many others can do just the same. This is evangelization. You hear me say it all the time. Conversion necessarily leads to evangelization. This is us being the Eucharistic people that we were created to be, building up this wonderful body of Christ throughout the world. Okay, friends, just like the heroes in today's readings, we need to be tough ourselves. We're pretty weak in many cases, aren't we? Especially in the United States here. You will be challenged for living the faith. The question is, how will you respond? How will you respond? There's no shortage of intimidation, deception, and scare tactics out there designed to lead you away from the Lord. Will you stand strong, or will you cower down? Keep in mind that there are eternal consequences to your decisions, to your actions. But also keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that Jesus truly is risen, and the power of his great victory is there for the taking, for every single one of us. It's always right there. We just have to say yes. So keep your heart focused on him and on the marvelous life he has prepared for you in eternity, for every single one of you and me. He's prepared a place for us in the Father's house. Therefore, don't get bogged down with earthly things. Instead, live the way you were created to live, so you can enjoy this life to the fullest as you journey with our Lord to the absolute fullness of life in eternity. And having said this, let us now close with these wonderful words of encouragement from Paul to walk this path with our Lord. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. May he encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word.